Cameron, it's Leah Thompson.
Hi, Miss Thompson. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Good, good.
Great. Well, I'd like to start by talking about Back to the Future, because that's the movie that you'll be screening at the Florida Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, you probably get no questions at all about Back to the Future.
No, I've never answered one. Not in my whole darn life.
Well, this is a good time to start. When you were making the movie, did you get a sense that it would become this sort of cultural phenomenon, or did that sort of become a gradual process once you first saw the movie?
I think that it really just kind of, like, started to really feel like that, like, maybe, like, 5, 10 years ago, because, you know, it was a hit, it was a massive hit, and people loved the movie, and then it just, like, seemed to quiet down for a while, but then I think what happened is all the people who saw it when they were kids grew up and had kids and started mm-hmm. infecting a new generation. And then it really took on this whole other thing. It's definitely a movie that has aged well. Like, some don't, but this one has definitely aged well. Even though its depiction of, you know, 2015 wasn't that perfect. But, you know, I think that it really, the themes, the deep, deep, deep themes of it are really powerful to different generations or all generations of filmgoers. And it's also it was a great script. It was a script that people study at UCLA, in the screenwriting classes at NYU. They study the script in their syllabus as the structure of a great script. And so, you know, it always starts with a script form, but they were also lucky to just make a great movie and really have a perfect cast, which, you know, is very rare. Usually there's some big mess up in the casting, and there really wasn't any. Every single part was great.
That's an interesting point you make, that it really sort of took on this iconic stature only in the last 10 or 15 years.
That's what it feels like to me, for sure.
It does seem like it has grown tremendously, and maybe it's because as a culture we're sort of fascinated with time travel. I don't know. I'm sort of curious whether time travel is something that interests you, because sort of growing up with Back to the Future, along with movies like Somewhere in Time and the classic Twilight Zones, I developed a love for time travel. Is that something that you were interested in before you did the film, or perhaps after, or?
Well, you know, when you talk about time travel, I think you need to bring in the concept. I think the reason that This Is Us is a massive hit is because there's time travel in This Is Us. Now, there's no machine, there's no DeLorean, but there's time travel. You get to go back and see what your parents were like when they were kids. There's a lot of similarities in that, in This Is Us. You get to be in the same room 20 years before, you know, and see what was happening. You get to see what was happening with the people when they were kids and why they are the way they are. And that's essentially the same thing that happens in Back to the Future. So I think people are fascinated with time travel, not just because of machines or all that. They're fascinated with it because of our humanity. You know, we're fascinated with how people change and don't change over time, and how people's aspirations and desires really don't change. And I think that's what's the deeper meaning of the time travel in Back to the Future. You know, if there's no story that is human, it's really boring. And a lot of movies are full of that. There are a lot of things that don't really interest us as human beings. And you know, they excite us to see 100 million people getting shot and blown up and buildings fall over and stuff. That's kind of, like, interesting to look at, but it doesn't really affect us deeply. And that's what Back to the Future does. It affects us deeply to see that our parents were people once, you know, with the same, you know, same aspirations, the same desires, the same insecurities that we had.
I agree. In fact, I relate to time travel on that level as well. I'm not so much interested in the science fiction of it. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in the drama of it and the humanity of it. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's really, really deep resonating concepts in Back to the Future. If you stand up and you have courage in one moment in your life, it could change everything. Not only your life, but your whole family's life. And, you know, that has many practical applications in every single family. You know, you take the person who's, you know, has a problem with drugs and alcohol, and they get sober, and then the entire family is better. Like, it goes from being in the alternate universe of that, everybody falls apart and fights and doesn't have money and someone goes to jail. But when the person gets sober, they don't go to jail, and their family flourishes, and their kids are fine. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There's a million little applications like that in each one of our lives where we make the choice, a good choice. We make one small choice, and it changes our life and the people we love.
Absolutely.
So I think that lesson is incredibly powerful, and whether people are conscious of it or not, when they show that to their kids, that's what they're telling their kids.
It's the sort of, it's a wonderful life lesson, you know?
It's exactly that.
Yes.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why that movie resonates.
True.
You know, so powerfully for everyone.
Let me switch gears just slightly. I interviewed Charles Fleischer several years ago about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Uh-huh.
And he spoke highly of Robert Zemeckis. And
uh-huh.
I personally think he's one of the most underrated and amazing directors. You've obviously done 3 films with Robert Zemeckis. Can you talk a little bit about your experience working with him?
He is a great director, and some of his Flight isn't like a masterpiece, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the smartest guy in the room. Like,
yeah.
He's very, very smart, and he's very... I mean, he doesn't remember this, but my feeling about him was, like, how great it was to make him laugh, how great it was to tickle him and make his vision come true, and how completely obsessed he was with every single detail of Back to the Future, and how it just tickled him when, like, you know, he'd think of something new to put in the background, or, you know, the art department would come up with something funny, or, you know, a
mm-hmm.
scene would really work, and... You know, it felt so lovely to be part of that vision of such a genius. And I also remember in Back to the Future 2, we had this really complicated scene where Michael Fox had to be 3 people in the same scene. And, you know, these were early days. Like, nowadays it would be easy, but then it was very complicated. And, you know, the technical guys would stand there for, like, 2 hours, and Robert Zemeckis, in my opinion, would be sitting there being very polite until it got too late, and then he'd be like, okay, then I'm sorry, guys, this is how it has to be done. And they'd be like, oh, thank you. He just was smarter than the technical guys. He's just, you know, he's just a whole package, and he's also,
yes.
you know, a sufferer. He, like, understands the human, you know, the human condition in a way that's really, really special. And I agree with you. He's a great, great, great director.
So you've shown a lot of bravery in your career. For instance, I read that for Jaws 3, you told the producers that you'd been in films when you hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
You told them that you could water ski and you couldn't. Even continuing later in your career, you did Dancing with the Stars, which I think takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, it does.
Do you think that element of risk-taking speaks to your personality, or do you find that you sort of have to push yourself to do these things?
Well, that's really lovely of you to say, and Jaws 3D is, you know, close to my heart in Orlando, because that was my first film,
right.
And imagine my surprise when I showed up for a shark movie, and it was inland. Like, where's the ocean? I've had that, I don't know who told me that early, I call it, like, jumping in cold water. Like, a lot of times, just don't think, just do it, and you know it's going to feel good, you don't want to do it now. You know, it seems like it's going to be inconvenient or scary, and just do it, because don't think too much, because that's how you keep staying young, you keep staying alive, you keep trying new things, and the minute you get scared and you say no, it starts to get easier and easier, and then you find yourself living in a very beige world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am an artist, first and foremost, and so I want to continue to be an artist and do things that challenge me and keep me, you know, from being scared, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I find doing scary things keeps me from being scared, which makes no sense, but...
No, it does.
It's how I feel, because then the next time I have something scary, I go, I did that. I did Dancing with the Stars. I got kicked off on national TV, and I'm fine. I had a great time. I didn't die, and, you know, I did, you know, water ski. I did direct that movie. I did go and talk to that mean actor as a director, and I was fine. You know, I the next time I go, I survived all that stuff.
Right.
And I did just fine. And I had a great time. So keep doing it. Yeah. So that's my way of staying young.
And I don't care what they say. I think the performance in Howard the Duck was also quite brave.
It was brave. Back to the Future was brave, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a strange character. That was a very weird thing to pull off.
It was. You've had tremendous success with Caroline in the City and with television movies, with film and television, and also with Broadway. Mm-hmm. Is there a medium that you prefer? Stage, film, television?
Well, I really love, I mean, of course, you know, stage is an actor's medium because no one can, once the curtain goes up, no one can tell you what to do. You know, it's just you, and you're going down those rapids on that little boat, and it's you. So that's exciting. I mean, I feel so insanely grateful that I've had the opportunity to try so many different things and continue to work after. Basically, I started on the stage when I was 10, so that's 45 years of being, a performer and an artist, and, you know, what could be better than that? I mean, for me.
Yes.
So I feel really grateful. So I don't really know how to say that. I mean, I wish I didn't have, I mean, in some ways, I wish I didn't have to keep trying to reinvent myself.
How so?
But that's the way it is for everybody in every job in America right now. I mean, everybody has to do a lot of different things and keep up with things and reinvent themselves. You know, the day of just being like, I'm just going to do comedy, half hour for the rest of my life. It just doesn't work. Or I'm just going to write this. You know, you probably have to do a lot of different things. Like, we all have to keep changing because our society is changing so quickly. So, it's a really long answer. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. But it sort of feeds back into what we were talking about earlier about you taking risks and feeling that sort of enriches your life somehow. Maybe pushing the envelope and doing all these different tasks and reinventing yourself seems a little frustrating when you're doing it, but looking back, it's probably made you a better artist, don't you think?
Yeah, and it all leads, exactly, and it all leads to what's so lovely is that people are giving me the opportunity to direct, so that means I can use everything. Like, you know, I'm so hoping that they, because of La La Land, they make more musicals and that I could direct a musical and perhaps, you know, co-choreograph it.
Yes.
Or, you know, use all the dance that I have and the theatrical background that I have, which I really haven't used much in my career. So I can use everything. The fact that I, you know, design and I'm a good photographer and that I, you know, can sew and I understand clothes. You know, it all works. You know, it's really fun when you have a job that uses all the things that you've worked so hard to learn how to do.
Yes.
And so directing is really great because I can use my comedy, my drama, my all the different kinds of movies that I've made and TV that I've done, and I can kind of use it all. Like my mom says, you know, everything is grist for your mill. My mom always says that.
That's a great great quote to live by. It is. Let me end with a very cliche question. Do you have a favorite film, either one you've been in or just an overall favorite?
My favorite film of all time is Harold and Maude.
Oh, really?
A weird movie, but since I was a little girl, I love that movie. I loved Cat Stevens, and I love that all the music is Cat Stevens. I love Hal Ashby, who was a great director. I just, everything about that movie, I love.
I like Harold and Maude, too, and I've got a couple of friends who say it's their favorite film. So,
well, you and I have good friends.
I don't have
any other friends that do, so tell them thank you for being fellow Harold and Maude geeks.
I will tell them that Leah Thompson thinks Harold and Maude is the greatest film. Or it's your favorite film, I should say.
It is definitely my favorite film. And I want to thank the Film Festival for inviting me. And if people come to the screening, I will be sure to have some great stories.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, and I look forward to meeting you at the festival as well.
Yay! Okay, thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.